This is the Andres Segovia Show.
I have William Hall. William Hall, welcome to the Andres Segovia Show. From my audience that do not know you, by all means, please introduce yourself to them.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So, my name is William Hall, as he just mentioned, and I basically do a bunch of different podcasting, videos, conservative content. So you name it, any of that stuff. I pretty much do like two shows a week, an hour long if I can. And on as many platforms as you can think of, you can just search the William Hall Show. But yeah, that's pretty much what I do, just covering mostly the kind of current news and things like that, but also deviating to whatever is going on culturally with society and everything else.
Right on. And I think I came across your program on Gab. So that's one of the platforms that we're both on. But you didn't start on Gab. It looks like you started before that. Where did you start your show?
Yeah, so technically, well, as far as like social media in general, I really started on Parler when that actually really existed. So, yeah. I mean, and that was really where everything kind of launched from, because from there I was like, okay, well, sure, I'll go and start from there. And then I kind of opened up a YouTube channel and a Rumble channel. And then, of course, after the Parler apocalypse and everything got taken down with them, I moved over to Gab at that point and then started uploading on Gab TV and everything.
Yeah, okay. So what inspired you though, like to start your show, like on? I guess you were engaging on Parler, but why did you decide to finally voice your opinion?
It was literally the day after the election. Like for me, that was the big thing. Like I had been posting before, but after November 3rd, like I saw what was going on and everything was just going crazy at that time. So I was like, I need to actually speak about this. I need to do something about it. So literally, I think it was that same week, I started the podcast, started the YouTube channel, all of that. So,
oh, nice. Well, I think that was a great time for you to start. Yeah. People were really in on it at the time. And your channel has grown exponentially. So that's something that you and I differ in terms of what we do for show. But for those that are regular tuners to my show, they understand that I have a section called Off the Record. It's now available exclusively on Locals. It used to be on my website, but for reasons I had to change that format too, where I would talk about these things. And just like you, I actually did political commentary from 2003 to 2010, I would say around mid-2009. So the Andres Segovia Show, as it was known, as political commentary, current events and economics and all that, I did it then. I kind of did it as a way to basically talk to my generation at the time, because I was tired of the reality shows. And like, dude, I don't care. But they'll be the first to ask, oh, what am I going to vote for today? Like, what do you mean, what? You're going to the polling booth? The low-information voters are usually the ones that are responsible for canceling out our votes. So I try to inform my generation around me, and I make inspired by Rush Limbaugh, I made up a fictitious broadcasting network. I call it YES, Youth's Exiting Stupidity, and that's nice. That's how it was. This is before a podcast or blogging was a thing, so it was a newsletter that I morphed, and it's blurry on purpose, but over here is my book that kind of compiles my entirety of my newsletter. It's over 500 pages long. That's my first written book, but my third published work. And I look back and I was like, well, it's a historical archive of things that went down back then. Yeah. But then as I got busier in life, I ended up turning it into, it became a news feed before Twitter became a thing. So like, oh, that made it easier when I ended up moving to Twitter, which I'm sure we'll end up talking about later. But the show morphed into all just giving headline news, and every now and then I'll weigh in with like the opinion editorial, but I call it the newsreel. And after that, I'm like, I couldn't keep up. So I couldn't stay quiet either. So eventually I needed to voice my something. And what ended up transpiring was, I think it was 5 years ago or 6 years ago, when I started a tech channel. And I did that as a response to all the bad rep that BlackBerry was getting, because people don't understand BlackBerry, so I need to explain. And that's where my channel took off. I ended up racking over 1 million views based on tech-heavy content too. So for me to take a chance and bring back the Andres Segovia Show to away from just tech, but to help people educate themselves on how to be financially independent, investing in real estate, and also some life coaching. that in of it itself was a big shift. And I understood what that meant for me and ad revenue and all that. It's like, no, but I want to, this is me. Yeah. So I ended up going that way. And people have, some people have stuck around. Others was like, oh, well, we watch this is more tech stuff. In 2022, I think people are starting to see like he's leaning more heavy on the I'm just a Govia show now. And that's on purpose.
Yeah.
But I say all that because that's, I relate to what you say. And there's a topic that was inspiring, like that we kind of talked about before we recorded, that it's kind of leading towards. So here's the main question that I have. Why did you feel the need that you needed to jump in to voice your opinion?
Well, I mean, I felt like there was a lot of voices out there. I mean, there's a lot of big name people already. But I just felt like it was a good opportunity to do something for myself, to actually be in the fight in the best way that I could. Because I felt like, you know, posting online is great and everything, but ultimately I wanted to be able to have a longer form type of situation where I could actually go through, cover the actual things that were happening the way that I wanted to and say, hey, at least feel to myself that I was doing something, you know, other than just kind of sitting by and kind of watching. So for me, it was just trying to be involved in a fight. I just feel like something needed to take place. And the platforms that were there were kind of just starting to blow up like crazy. And the news was going around all over the place. And many of the bigger name people weren't even really covering some of the stuff. So I was like, okay, this is an opportunity that I can maybe capitalize on and see if I can actually cover some of that stuff that maybe other people haven't heard about, or just the other places are ignoring or something like that. So,
Well, you heard it there, ladies and gentlemen. William Hall admitted that he's part of the misinformation campaign to question the most secure election in history. Pretty 81 much. Million votes. How dare you question that, sir? How
exactly.
I can't even keep a straight face finishing that line.
Yeah, right. Yep.
But I said the disclaimer there, so YouTube should be happy with that.
Yeah.
And I totally understand exactly where that's coming from, because like I said, I couldn't keep quiet. So I did off the record. I called it off the record. Well, whereas when I said I brought back the Andres Segovia show, people that knew me were like, oh, you're going to bring politics to the thing that you do. So, no. I'm bringing what I know how to do, what I love how to do, because real estate is all about marketing. Say, but if I'm going to go do what is called farming, to be just focusing on a neighborhood, considering that for those that know me best, I run three different operations, property management, real estate, I'm an independent contractor there, but most of all construction are the one that I administrate. It's like, how am I going to give up all of that to be able to just be walking around neighborhoods and trying to meet and greet people when there's about 10 other real estate professionals doing the very same thing?
Yeah.
And like, I can't do that, but what I know how to do best is this. So I'm like, then I'll make this my platform. And that's how it became for me to be able to educate people. I did some episodes in Espanol for my community, and those became a big driver. And as I was covering real estate to educate people, the politics came to me, not me going to it, because the state of California being very anti-business with all these propositions that were always lining up, mid-election or general election, I had to address those things. And then people say, hey, you're being political about it. All I'm telling you is with the tax consequences of these things. And it just like, well, take it as you may. But then that's when the YouTube censors started coming in. Exactly. So part of it is Steven Crowder's fault, from Lotto with Crowder. And I did take him to task. And I told him, I'm so angry at you, I'm going to sign up for my club.
Right, exactly. I think I have my actually over here. Here we go. Right, so we're good.
Yeah. Enjoy your respite, brother.
Right.
And through that, it's like I ended up getting more attention because of it. Like, look, I wasn't intending on treading these waters. This tsunami came to me, and I'm trying to surf through it. So I did a series called Local Broker Reacts, where I started having kind of fun with my knowledge, but also reacting to people leaving California. I did one on PragerU's documentary and just doing color commentary, like pausing every now and then. My biggest one, though, was when Ben Shapiro announced the Daily Wire was leaving. And to this day, that's my number one real estate-centric video to that extent. So some people started calling me out. It's like, oh, see, you're getting all political. It's like, man, I'm telling you, what's driving people away. And I'm hashtag Save California, hashtag Fix California. I'm here for the long fight because, well, I someone's got to wake people up. And true. We just abandoned this beautiful state. You're in Florida, so there's a lot of similarities between us, but the difference is we have earthquakes and you have alligators or crocodiles.
Right, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, so my wife asked me, like, if we move to Florida, because she did ask me, like, if we move to Florida, can we move somewhere where there aren't any of those reptilian creatures? I don't know.
I doubt it. There's so many lakes everywhere. <It's>...
Yeah, I mean, she quite literally thinks they're everywhere. But I must say, there even with stuff that's going on in Florida, I was like, well, it just speaks that it's a human condition when there's either violence of humans versus humans or animal crises or natural disasters. Like every state has its own thing.
Yeah.
But the worst man-made disaster, obviously, is whatever we vote into office. So
true. Exactly.
And as more people need to wake up, they'll realize it. And I think people will be waking up to the fact that LA Times did itself no favors, labeling Larry Elder the black face of white supremacy.
Yeah.
And over here, it was actually a lot of I would say more conservative Democrats, like, or the ones that are more moderate. They were stunned too, because they were definitely up. Voting for Larry Elder. So whatever went down, I kind of wish that Larry Elder, like, can you kind of speak to what you said Trump shouldn't question now, because you actually saw it happen before your very eyes.
Exactly, right?
But I haven't heard him say anything to that effect just yet. But hey, going off on the tangent, that's how my show ended up getting more on the political side, and to the point where I was bouncing off what you were saying that drove you to do your show. My off the record stuff that I only kept on my website, people can still find it actually. As historical record, I was live streaming and screen recording my screen, because I knew that this information that's going to be here, unless we catch it while it's happening, no one's going to see it again.
Exactly.
And what went down prior to November 3rd, what went down immediately after November 3rd, and the shenanigans thereafter, all that stuff, culminating ultimately with January 6th, I have the receipts. And I'm so happy I do, because, well, and I've said it before, it's like what happened January 6th was shameful and stupid. But I have questions.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And questions I need answering. And I think more people are waking up to that.
For sure.
Not entirely dwelling on that event, but it's why you did and why I do what I do.
Yeah,
because it almost sounds a little bit that that you like history.
Yeah, a bit.
A bit. Because you were technically trying to be a part of history there. And in a way,
you
are a part of history.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what other historical archives will there be unless someone's actually documenting what goes down? Do you remember the days when we used to do a Google search and you could find 10 million hits?
Oh, yeah. At least it was what you were actually searching for. And then now, I mean, depending on what it is, the suggestions and what's there. I mean, you're getting the liberal sources first. I mean, it's really kind of crazy.
Well, it's not just that. It's like, wait, there's no more searches on like one page. What?
True,
like,
true.
I am mind blown. Like, dude, they scrubbed the internet. You know,
it's like, pretty much.
Yeah. What are you using? Since you mentioned you've been on other platforms. I don't like calling it alternative platforms or alt tech just because the left identifies that, but what other platforms like for search engines? What's your go-to?
For search, the DuckDuckGo one has been pretty decent, like which is the kind of more free speech ish one. But other than that, I also use Brave browser. I guess they have their own search too. I've also been using theirs. So.
I thought they were powered by DuckDuckGo.
They very well may be, because a lot of them are integrated together. So maybe that's the one that they're using. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah.
I completely forgot that Wolf Ram Alpha.
An old one. That's an old one.
Yeah.
But it's that other one? Ask Somebody? I can't remember.
Ask Jeeves. Oh, dude.
Still around.
Yeah, me too. Dude, I forgot about that.
This was so long ago.
Like, who cares about Yahoo? No.
yeah, but I forget it.
Yeah, no, forget that one. And for those people that are still listening to us, like, these guys are two conservatives talking, and that's kind of it. That for why I brought you on, like, obviously we seem to be in sync here, but some people will look at us and think, like, these guys are sellouts to their own people. And usually the ones saying that are white people. And that's what frustrates me. Like, I don't need them talking down to me.
Right.
And that's kind of what I wanted to get at, where were you born and raised in a conservative, traditionally conservative family, religious maybe? How was your upbringing?
Yeah, so it's kind of a mixed bag mainly. And I only say that because there was never really a huge focus on politics. Like, if you were to ask me 5 years ago, even like anything really related to politics, I wouldn't honestly have had one opinion one way or another. I just wasn't involved in it. I didn't care. It just didn't matter to me. Like, I was very just apolitical. And I kind of was raised, I mean, I was raised as a Christian. Every Sunday we went to church and all of that, but never did my parents really get into that, or was I into it at all? And then literally just a couple of years ago, I mean, really before COVID and all that stuff, when I started on Parler and started posting about stuff, I started realizing, hey, wait a minute, like, what are these? Like, I couldn't even tell you the difference between like a liberal and a conservative, like 5 years ago. But like over time, I was like, okay, there's these things happening, and I saw what Trump was doing, and I'm like, okay, this guy seems really straightforward and everything. And then I started kind of trying to see where I landed on the political spectrum. And then as I looked, I'm like, man, everything that I've ever believed in or that I've done is all conservative. Like, it just that way. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm a conservative. So I just started going in, and from there, I started making social media accounts, and that was really it.
I think Trump was like a moment of choosing for a lot of people.
Yeah,
they kind of looked at themselves in the mirror. Because, well, I'm still trying to figure out how it is that a bunch of white people ended up voting for Trump, but they were okay with a black man for 8 years.
Yeah, so, right. Exactly. Like, okay.
It's like, hold on, it doesn't compute.
Right.
I wish I had that overlay for Steven Crowder where he's doing the math.
Yeah.
Hold on. How does that work?
Right.
As for me, it's similar to yours. My upbringing is quite similar. I'm first generation American, quite similar upbringing in that I was born and raised in a Christian church. I didn't become a Christian until I was 12 when I accepted Christ as my personal savior. I wasn't baptized until I was 16. And after that, I'm like, oh, now the Christian life is going to be easy. No, that's when it became harder.
Yes, definitely.
And I would say I didn't start living for Christ until I was 18.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's just been like a pendulum. It's like, yeah, I'm in the spirit, yeah, not in the spirit, I'm in the spirit, not in the spirit. And it's like, oh, God, please save me from myself. So that's why I'm Christian. I'm Christian because I'm flawed. I'm not because I think of myself as the best. If anything, I'm my harshest critic. But in terms of politics, my parents never talked politics. No one ever dealt with it per se. It was always just mandated by like, wait, how many taxes does a small business need to pay this year?
Right.
Like, are we going to make ends meet this day or not? And that's usually what dictated our ability to, my parents' decision on how they would vote. And when I grew up in the public school, I went to the public school system since I was sixth grade. After that, I went to a private Christian school. That didn't make me Christian. That didn't mean people were Christian. They were just being ministered to. Mm-hmm. And, well, we got into all sorts of trouble for all sorts. But after that, I don't know where I carried anti-American sentiments, because I don't remember that ever being taught in my private Christian school. And in my younger years back then, I'm only 37, but in my younger years in elementary, I remember being scolded by my teacher because I didn't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. Imagine that today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember that in elementary school. I mean, that for us was what everyone did. I mean, that was the thing. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And now it's like, oh, they don't even really care anymore. The teachers don't, you know, half of them are basically sitting down the whole time. You know, it's crazy.
Did they even do it? That's my question. I don't recall.
I don't think they do. And I even remember, I mean, generally speaking, it was okay for even the teacher to pray in the classroom, at least in the public school, very early on. I remember it kind of going away when I was in high school, but that was just very interesting.
Yeah, it feels like a bygone era. Like
it really, it does. It does.
It's amazing how much has changed. Even in the 5 years that you mentioned, it's like,
yeah,
dude, where was this? I mean, how many people love The Office, but you can't do The Office anymore, the show.
No,
it's
like, no. Wow. And it's funny. I was actually going back and watching a few older TV shows, and one of the ones that came up was actually House, if you remember that one. You know, I remember watching it a little bit like years and years and years ago when it came out, because I think it came out in 2004. And so I was going back and rewatching it now, and I'm like listening to this, and I'm like, man, there's so many things that this guy, I mean, they would be calling this guy, he's a toxic white male. And I mean, but it's so funny. Like, it's almost like refreshing, because it's like, this is what TV used to be. It's so funny. It's so good, you know?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is how I describe Trump. It's like, all of you love Dr. House until he's your doctor.
Yes, exactly.
Like, oh, you watched that episode of House? Oh, man, he's such a jerk. It's like, you guys loved Trump before he became president.
Right? Exactly.
It's like, well, yeah. What changed other than he was just trying to do his better? No. He's always been. Wait, how did he become? Wait, he became a racist overnight?
What right. Like, what changed?
Yeah, I know. It's like, ugh. And. Well, I think we'll eventually touch on that in a bit. Just keeping on with the train of thought about how much has changed. Yeah, absolutely. Like, my kids don't watch American programming. My wife is Taiwanese. She was born and raised in Taiwan. Got a green card, came to the United States, landed in Texas of all places. Okay. So I'm like, how'd you end up in California? But here she landed, and we ended up meeting years after that. She chose me over her family, and we were raising three kids. So the programming that we tend to get is from Taiwan or international. Some of them dubbed into English, but we try they're trilingual. They're learning Mandarin, English, and Espanol. Mm-hmm. And so they know that they're going to conquer the world of business. So they're going to take over. And when it comes to American programming, like only what I picked up as physical media, like kids, let me show you what the real Justice League was. Let me show you the Batman animated series.
Yes, there you go.
And they find that terrifying because they're little ones. But I'm like, wait, I used to watch it as a kid. Racketeering, conspiracy to murder, what? Like, right. Hey, as an adult, I can still enjoy it. So like, I'm so sad that I cannot share my childhood with them beyond like I can't share Sesame Street, and it saddens me. But this Christmas was the first time that, all right, kiddos, I know you guys always wondered who is Kermit the Frog. So here's a Muppets Christmas Carol. So at least we were able to watch that. There were even some moments they're like, yeah, I don't think this is gonna fly today either.
True.
And that's what saddens me. But I'm not sheltering my kids or anything of the sort. They're finding their way on their own in a way, but it's also my job to train a child the way they should go.
Absolutely.
I have my approach, and my wife has her approach. And I think that's what's important about the nuclear family, like both the mom and the father being present for the children.
Definitely.
And I had that growing up. But they instilled the values on me, and like I mentioned, I don't know where that anti-American sentiment came to me. It's like, why did I hate the United States? I couldn't explain it to you. But then there was like a light bulb that switched in my mind, and I don't know how it changed, but then I kind of had like a soul search and realized, holy smokes, this is the country I actually do value, and this is the place I can do what I want to do, and it's worth defending. Then I was, so I am conservative too. And I think it was a moment of reflection when I went to college. This was at the time we were about to go into Iraq. And it was spring 2003. So that's like right before the invasion of Iraq, if I recall correctly, my history. So the English teacher, instead of teaching English, my first class ever in college, just sat us down like the kindergarten kids with our desks against the walls, and we just talking politics and the evils of the Bush administration. The Bush administration and how he was a Nazi. I'm like, what? Like hearing it all the way back then, and having all this talk about what's this got to do with English and literature,
right? Yeah, what's happening?
And eventually, when I started speaking up, because I'm like, I don't think I agree with that. And these are a lot, but the majority of them are white people. And here's one of the only few Hispanics in the class actually voicing disagreement. and talking about, hey, look at our American soccer team. It's pretty diverse. And it's the thing about like, oh, because there was no other choice. Like, what? I'm just sitting there so confused. It's like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. I actually talk about this in a novel series that I'm writing. So I remember sitting down in a quad, and you being a fellow brother in Christ will understand this. I was having a crisis of conscience. I don't want to say crisis of faith because I never had an issue with faith. Mm-hmm. I only had issues with myself. And as I kept doubting me and my purpose and what's the point of it all, it's that I heard God telling me, you see everybody here? I'm like, uh-huh. God went to quad. It's like, you are not like them. And it wasn't in a way to tell me that you're better than them. Mm-hmm. No, it was in a way to saying, I've called you something greater.
Yeah.
And trust me. That's how I understood the word. Then I'm like, what do you mean? And this was the beginning of my years in college.
Mm-hmm.
So it took about a year for me to understand what he meant. Because every single semester, every class, there was always one more experienced Christian that he put into my life to help minister me along the way.
That's good.
And that was awesome. And that's helped mold me into who I am. And everybody that I grew up with, I'm the shy guy, the one in the corner, always angry, the nobody, when you had to drag around and all this, like he would never show up. How did he end up becoming the preacher? Because I ended up going circuit preaching to different churches and things. Like, what? Like, that's the guy that wouldn't talk. And then he's actually doing public speaking, considered one of the biggest fears in people's lives. You know, I was like, well, it's all God. And someone had to speak up. So that's in a way where I came from. And it's all born and raised here in California. I was actually living, I don't know how much you remember in history, during the Rodney King riots, one of the biggest highlights was there was a Shell gas station that was blown up. And not too far from there, there was a truck driver that was pulled out of his truck and it was being just gang beaten in the street and a helicopter hovering overhead. I lived about two blocks down from that.
And so, wow.
And so that's where I was. And I was, 7, 8 years old? So, of course, all of us would be afraid of where's daddy? You know, he needs to get home. And it's something that to me was very surreal. But being children, we didn't understand. And growing up older and then seeing how that's all kind of come to a head, I'm finding myself sitting down to explain to my 7, 8-year-old this very thing. It's like, wow, we come full circle. I'm like, whoa. You know, it's I don't forget it. And one thing I never understood, my church, Hispanic church, was next to a black church. Mm-hmm. It still is next to a black church. But the rioters torched the black church.
Really?
I don't understand. Wow. It's like, why? And they will repeatedly vandalize it over the years.
Wow.
Where my father being in construction, pastor, I don't know if I should say his name, so I'm not going to say his name, but the pastor of the church would come over to our church. And he like, can you guys, do you know anybody that can help us install bulletproof doors? And we helped. My father and his company helped. Like, well, yeah, we'll donate the doors. Like, what was going on? I never understood that. But from my upbringing, as I saw, the black community and the Hispanic community were pretty similar in our upbringing, and we had more conservative values.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't vote that way.
Is it? Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you could provide insight as to your side as to why that is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's there's multiple reasons why. And I was just going to say, for me personally, I was, you know, when I was raised in the church I was raised, it was actually predominantly white. Like there was some, I mean, there was a good healthy mix of people in there, but most of the people were white. I would say probably like 75%. So like for me, when I was growing up in the church and in schools, it was the same way for me too. Like I never was like in the black community, like heavily as much as like many other people were. Like they were around, but I wasn't socially involved with them that much. Not in the church, not with even school all that much. It's at least specifically, like everywhere I went, there was a pretty good mix. So I never like saw like myself as like the black person in the group. Like it was just, you know, I was just used to being around all kinds of people basically. But I think when you kind of boil it down, a lot of it's due to a lot of the history. I think a lot of just what they're used to, like they're just kind of like, hey, I'm just going to vote this way because this is the way my mother voted, the way my parents voted, the way my grandparents voted. And they just kind of do the same thing. And I think there's this notion that a lot of them are kind of under where they think for some reason that, oh, well, the Republican Party is the party of racism or something. And I think most of them don't even really realize what's going on, because most of the Black Hispanic communities are, like you were saying, at least socially conservative. Like they're not for the LGBT stuff most of the time and all the rest of the transgender things and all of that. They're not really for that, but for some reason with the policies, they vote that way. And it's like, where's the disconnect at, you know? So,
we know that the media is largely responsible for a lot of this misinformation, disinformation, and quite frankly, fake news. But I think the one thing that separates entirely the other races, the United States and the Hispanic community, is called Univision. Mm-hmm. One news station. That's the number one news station.
Yeah.
It beats out every other demo, because the entire Hispanic community only has one news channel. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I'll get the other news source from Telemundo, owned by Univision. So it's like it's only one source.
True. Yeah.
And before Trump, there was saying it that way is funny. There was an article that came out that Venezuela was one third of the stakeholder in Univision. I'm like, folks, the countries you're running away from are the ones funding this propaganda,
right? Jorge, yeah, feeding it to you. So
whatever differences I have with Jorge Ramos, the main face of Univision, the dude still holds even his side to the fire.
Yeah,
but of course he'll always have the issue with immigration, illegal immigration, and past citizenship, and all these different things. And there's a lot to unpack there when it comes to immigration. That's probably the most important voting reason that my people would have, because if they're like, no, they're persecuting our people there, and then later, like, the whole putting them in cages. So yeah, who took them out of the cage? Who built the cages, Joe? You know, that whole thing. It's like, when people realize, like, why is that? That's kind of true. People don't understand that the border issue isn't what the media makes it out to be.
Yeah, and absolutely.
And I can speak to very firsthand knowledge with respect to that. Well, I think that's one of the reasons why, or the main reason why, my people tend to be duped into voting for the party that claims to be for equal rights and for progressiveness, or to progress forward, when they were the ones that stifled progress in terms of what was called the Civil Rights Act, or the ones that imposed Jim Crow laws. They're the party of George Wallace and the Strom Thurmonds and the Robert K. Byrds, knows it, but. No, it was the Republican Party was the great switch. Point it out. I need you to point it out for me, because it never makes any sense. And for anybody who knows history, for which is kind of like tying it all up right there with respects to you jumping in, is for historical archives. Because if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it.
Exactly.
And I think what's really more difficult today is being able to broadcast that message, because these big tech oligarchies.
Definitely.
For which is why it's important to be in as many platforms as possible. I try to make myself as uncancelable as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
I say I'm here until I'm no longer welcomed here. there's, in the case of Facebook, I'm leaving. I'm taking my data with me. At least I believe I am, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, fine, terminate that thing and I'll go on my merry way. But when it comes to the say YouTube, it's like, well, kick me out. I'll wear that as a badge of honor. I'll consider that my YouTube plaque. You know, it's like, I got banned. I'll even laminate it and hang it. Because that used to be something that I wanted to aspire to get. I'm like, I'm not so interested in that anymore. I'm more interested in being able to reach people, to have a discussion, just like we are. Mm-hmm. But how? Okay, let me toss it to you, since I don't want to monologue too much. But what can be done better for our community to help them wake up, or red pill, as we say in our profession now?
I think a lot of it's going into the communities and just talking to people directly. There was actually a video on YouTube I remember seeing from, I think it was a few days or a week before the election on November 3rd. And it was just really interesting because you had this black guy standing outside of this voting thing, this voting booth or whatever was going on there. And this guy is, this other black guy is getting ready to go in to vote and everything. And so the black guy is like, that's standing out there, is like, hey, like, who are you voting for? You know, and he's like, well, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. And the first question the guy asks is, why? And the guys just standing there just like, well, I don't know. Just, you know, just don't know who I'm supposed to vote for. And then all of a sudden, and then the guy just starts listing off all of these reasons, like, hey, are you for lower taxes? Are you for this? All of these conservative policies. And the guy's just like, yeah, I support that. He's like, then why are you voting for Biden? Right? Like everything that you're telling me based off of these policies are things that are entirely on the side of Trump. And this guy had no idea what Democrats stood for, had no idea what was going on in there, but he was absolutely going in there just sure that he was supposed to be voting for Biden. So I think a lot of it is just people getting out there in front of people and just telling them, this is what's going on. Because I think most people don't want to know, or they're just kind of blissfully ignorant and they don't really care, maybe so. But I think that if people really knew what was actually what these people were saying, what these people were doing, because most 90% of people are not involved in politics. And I think it's easy to forget about what's going on. Like you mentioned with the different, just like with Univision and things like that, like the world isn't Twitter. And although I'm on Twitter and all social media, we're watching everything that's happening. We know Joe Biden's the one that said, let's go Brandon. And we're paying attention to all of these clips and every little thing he says and all of that. They're not. They're not on Twitter. They're not paying attention to this stuff, but they're absolutely going in the voting booth and just voting the way they think they should. So I think it's up to us and just family, because I think a lot more people are willing to listen to people they know, friends, whoever it is, to just tell them, hey, look, like, let's just go through just the very basics and understanding what's going on, because a lot of people just are they have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, and I remember this one time I had mentioned I was a circuit preacher. And I had preached a few times at my Hispanic church before I moved to a more local church that was English speaking, because I married my wife Taiwanese and Espanol is not in her vocabulary just yet. But I remember asking for a preaching spot because I felt like I had a message to share, but I didn't get one. And I remember being a little down, but my pastor at the time said, like, why don't you start by preaching to your family? And I took offense to that because I didn't understand that wisdom was speaking to me there.
Yeah.
And you just touched upon that again. And it's important because to me, like in my case, some families say, Andres is so extreme. Like, why? Because I actually speak my mind. How does that make me extreme? It's like, do you rather I eloquently lie to you? It's like, I don't like lying. Do I lie? Well, I'm human. Of course I would, but I don't like lying. So that is very key to reach out to people. The most recent confrontation, I would say I had my family and I knew I was going to be confronted. I didn't bring it up, but you pick the fight. I will finish it. And it was with regards to Kyle Rittenhouse. And I knew for a fact that this family member knew jack diddly squat about it. And I laid out the premise. He's like, oh, it's a shame that two people lost their lives. Do you know who? Right. You probably believe they're black too.
Right.
And I laid it out. And it was a few days later. He called me up to apologize because he said I was poking the bear at that point. It's like, don't worry about it. I apologize too for you know, coming out strong or whatever. But then he texted me after that, like a day or two later. He's like, hey, I read up a lot more on the case and I have to say you were right. So it's like we live in this world, man. And it's not that we like it. That's why I can't just stay there. Cause even I would be like, oh my goodness, these are children. No, it's like, I can't, they just never grew up, but it's not, now they're telling us like, they're not inside a White House. They're in a sound room. Why on earth are they in a sound room? Oh, you know, it's to maintain distance. And it's like, oh, sure it is. You know, it's like, this is all for show. And I'm like, people, are you awake yet? Because it's crazy. And 2021 was actually the year I made enemies and friends on both sides. Because because of my stances, I always have a leftist not like me. But I had more moderate liberals, if there was such a thing. But it's, you know, that party just got so extreme, right? So some of them actually came out and that defended me and said, hey, man, this guy's actually making some sense. Like, well, thank you. I didn't expect your support. Why? Because I dare to take on the Freedom Fund. Like,
true.
What is this thing when it first popped up? Because now they're trying to, like, there was always going to be a snake oil salesman. And while I still maintain that Eric Finman is not selling what he set out to sell.
Yeah.
He's, it's a scam. It's what is being sold now. It's Clear Senator or something else. But it's like, how many people fell for this?
Yeah, exactly. And that really messed me up because I'm also into tech as well. Like I was a big like Windows Phone guy during the heyday when it was like actually a thing. but like I've always like liked a lot of tech stuff. So like when I first saw those phones come out, the first thing I thought to myself was, because it was like, it's running Freedom OS. And I'm like, okay, so you're telling me this guy managed to make his own OS? Like that's not how that works. Like you're either using Android, most likely using Android when you're talking about a phone from what is clearly from China, unless he's manufacturing these cheap phones here, which doesn't make sense because nobody's manufacturing that many phones that look like that here. So of course it was just common sense that this was not like this guy wasn't a new leader in making some brand new OS. All it is a stripped down version of Google. Or Android that he's basically throwing onto this cheap phone, marked up the price like crazy, and then paid a bunch of influencers to basically, you know, to market this thing.
Yeah, some people said I was grifting because I came out strong against some of the influencers, in particular Candace Owens that did respond to me. Yep.
I got onto her for that too. I don't care. These people need to look at what they're advertising.
It's like stay in your lane. You do you and what you do best, but do not enter the tech space, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, as soon as you start talking about something you don't know and act like you know, you lose all credibility.
Yes, yeah.
Vinish D'Souza. Jack Posobiec didn't really talk all that much about it, but because I actually stood up for that, that was a defining moment for me. That's like the highlight of 2021, by the way, because like I was not in production. Like, oh, I'm going to take some time off. Then this thing pops up immediately on the Gateway Pundit, and I was checking out, what is this?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to fire the camera because this doesn't make any sense. So I recorded my live reaction to that.
Yeah,
and after that it was history because I had MAGA country coming after me. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? It's like, don't listen to this liberal soy boy rhino and all this. I'm like, yeah, you guys don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no.
And see, if you cannot hold a mirror to yourself, if you're not willing to also look at your own flaws, we cannot function.
Especially when it's so obvious, it's like, yeah, it's like this. Like if you were going for this thing, you just didn't know how phones worked. Like that, this doesn't make sense. Like, and just when you go to the guy's page, and I mean, there's so many YouTubers, of course, that have called them out on this. But you know, you go to the phone's website, and it's just like the most vague details ever. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Like how they're selling this thing by giving you absolutely zero information on what it is. Like,
yeah,
it's unbelievable.
It's like, I wouldn't have minded if they're like, okay, you did your own thing, but you said this is the greatest phone in the world. And then you had someone like Candace Owens says, get rid of your iPhone, get this thing.
And then, and then she proceeds to put, what is she like, tweet like a few days later. And it's like, tweeted from iPhone. Like, these people aren't going to give up their iPhones, folks. Like, it's so obvious that it's for money. It's
I'm like, Candace, like, I screenshotted and I highlighted and put on Instagram. It's like, tweeted from iPhone. It's like a month later or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? There's so much to that. I actually did a wrap up. I got so much mileage out of that. That was awesome. this is where I mean, like, I even had someone on the other side come out and defend me. That's the comments of the year, by the way. They're like, wait, a Christian who isn't a hypocrite? I've seen it all. I applaud you, sir. I'm like, I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah,
you got to be able to call your side out on
you
that,
do.
Man.
You do.
And I did this on purpose to segue to what we're talking about still, about you and I being on the same wavelength and things, but also having the same issues, why our community keeps voting in the way it did. And this kind of lines up as to, we talked about what can be done to for our communities to wake up. But there's also another part to it, because whether we like it or not, it's a two-party system. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. That's the way it is. But I don't think a parliamentary system would also work in the United States. It can be influenced so many different ways. It's politics.
Yeah.
I believe in term limits. Let's put term limits there. That should help.
For sure.
that should up entirely. But it's also being that the Republican Party, the GOP, is the one that supposedly stands up for conservative values and all that, being the only party out there to be able to basically put a stop to this leftist communism that's sweeping our country, and the very thing that a lot of my people ran away from, like, it's here. Because believe it or not, it's a lot of illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
Had they been able to vote, they would vote for Trump. That's what people don't understand. It's like you hear them, it's like, I hate everything that's happening here. They can't do anything about it because obviously they're already broken the law. They can't vote and all these other things. I'm not saying that they should, but I'm saying that had they been able to vote, they would have been voted for Trump. Because all of them's like, yeah, I support Trump. But you hear the people talking for them on the left side saying, oh yeah, Trump is persecuting these people. It's like, have you talked to them? Right. Apparently not. Your own constituents, you're not talking to them. So there's a lot that goes, like I said, I think that's a lot of people do tend to be single issue voters on that one. Immigration is a very big one, if not the main one for my people. But it's their values. It's a communication issue entirely, the fault of the GOP. It's like, look, you guys throw Trump under the bus every time you get a chance, but you will fundraise off his back every opportunity.
Yep.
Like, what can you learn from him? What did he do that ended up gaining him the largest numbers of Hispanics and Black votes and Asian votes that any other Republican has before him? And I think that's really comes down to, because the GOP needs to work on that if they want to secure a future voting base, if you will.
Definitely.
Because they're focusing more on the flyover states, if you will. It's like, no, you shouldn't. And seeing that you agree, I'm trying to give toss a question your way so you can also weigh in on this one, because what can they do better?
I mean, like you were mentioning, just actually changing the messaging and actually focusing on trying to get the message to the actual people that are going to make a difference. Because like you said, as soon as Trump was out, it was like the GOP they didn't care anymore. You see all them just kind of basically, all we see them do is basically fundraising like crazy, but nobody seems to actually be interested in what it was that he was doing, whatever it was that was that kind of magic that allowed for all these minorities. I mean, there was like the record Cuban turnout in Florida. I mean, it was just all these things that they're just completely out the window. The only thing that they're wanting to use Trump for right now is his name. And that's just obvious based off of the emails that you get all the time from that. And I just don't think that they actually care about trying to actually get the messaging right and kind of continue to do what Trump was doing. I don't think they're focused on that at all.
Yeah, and that's it's a shame. They need to wake up because, I see them winning 2022, but if you want to make it bigger where it's holding, then that means that they'll have to get us there.
Yeah.
By the way, that was for you, YouTube. Since and people need to realize that there's a topic that I do want to talk to you about, because I mentioned YouTube. It's something that we won't be able to continue on for them, because we're kind of riding this wave, and that's why I'm like, I gotta collect my thoughts here. Like, I'm trying to do mental gymnastics, but I'm not as good as Jen Psaki. Okay,
I can't circle back.
It's like, no, I'm gonna say it, but I can't say it yet. So I was holding my tongue, like talking to William. So. For those watching on YouTube, we're gonna still continue talking, because we gotta talk about the main thing, and it's what got William started on his channel. So we're gonna weigh in on that. I expect pretty heavily. So you want to tune into the rest of that? Go check it out. The links will be available to show notes of this episode at www.thingsgoover.com. But as we close out for the rest of you on some closing thoughts, and I'll give you a chance if you're willing to also tell people where they could find you. The whole thing, to basically summarize it, it's a communication issue. But I think one thing that the main takeaway that people can get from all this is we both did not grow up looking at skin color. We both grew up looking at the concept of character. Like, this was not something that was made aware to us until the left made it an issue for us. And now it's like, dude, we got to actually mention our skin color because of these buffoons. That were intending to eliminate this thing. The woke became the racist. It's the shoe horse theory thing. I'm like, it's, and Ryan Long did a really good job trying to summarize all that. For those of you that don't know that, that skit by Ryan, comedian Ryan Long, I'm going to leave that video embedded in the show notes too. So check that one out. But if there's any advice for people that are out there that would not hearken or listen to someone else's viewpoint, what pearls of wisdom can you give them?
I would say just to speak from just in a kind way. I think so much of politics has just gotten so hostile in many ways, especially when you're online. A lot of people will type something online, but they won't say it like that to your face, right? Like all of a sudden that barrier goes down and they're willing to listen. And the amount of people I've been able to kind of just that I've talked to in regular parts of my life, just friends or whoever it is, everyone's so much more reasonable when you're actually in person, like typically speaking, not always, but typically speaking, it's just so much easier to kind of get a point across when you don't have any of the rest of the noise of Twitter, or it's not behind some keyboard online or just texting or something like that. So I think just being kind to people and just speaking with the facts and leave it at that. And it's not always about trying to necessarily change their opinion right away entirely in one conversation, but just getting them to understand, look, there's stuff out there that you don't know, right? Yeah. And you need to realize that you may not know that, and leave it at that and let their curiosity go and kind of find out the rest of that stuff for themselves.
Yeah, and I love the way you put it. Don't make it an elevator pitch, trying to squeeze everything into one conversation.
Yeah, it's impossible.
No, it's just not. And it's over time. It's kind of like what Christ calls us to do, spread the gospel. We plant the seed, let God do the watering, you know?
Exactly.
And fall where the seeds may. It's fertile soil or they fall in the thorns, but something will come of it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's great. Where can people tuning in, we're about to say bye to them, where can they follow your program? I know you mentioned it before, but go ahead again.
Sure, yeah. So any podcast platforms or on YouTube, Rumble, Gab TV, all of this stuff, BitChute, you name it, you can just search for William Hall Show. And then on any of the social medias, it's William5849. That's Twitter and Parlor, Gab, Facebook, just pretty much everywhere until I get banned somewhere. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you get banned from Gab. That's going to be
that'd be kind of weird.
What did he do? Right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Andre Segovia Show. Remember to like, share, and subscribe to stay in the know. If you want a question featured on the program, or you never know, it could be an episode all on its own, you can message me at any of the social media links available at my website, www.theandresegovia.com. Also available there are all the directories where you can find my show. Remember to also follow me on YouTube and Instagram, where other exclusive content resides. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the program. I'll see you on the next one.